Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Flying High podcast series for ambitious leaders, aggressive teams, and high achievers with me, Rick Hocek. Let's dig in. Today, I want to talk about something rather provocative. Four ways leaders self-sabotage their own influence with their own team. You may be guilty of one or two of these, or maybe all four. Well, let's face it. As a leader, you influence people every single day. Most assuredly, you influence your own team, your own employees, your own followers. But too often, unknowingly, we negatively influence our followers, more by acts of omission than acts of commission, meaning we negatively influence them more by things we're not doing than things we are doing. Here are four of them that I find leaders are most guilty of. Number one is guilty of invisibility, staying harbored in the ivory tower. And of course, ivory tower is a metaphor. You may not have an office that's on the 10th floor of a building. If you are invisible to your people, they see you as impersonal. As a matter of fact, let's talk about what roles your people, your followers, your team actually see and identify with you as. One is they see you as a parent figure. Second, they see you as a teacher. Third, they see you as a destiny controller, someone who makes decisions that has control over their futures. And fourth, they see you as Santa Claus. They see you as a person who has the rights of beneficiary to bestow gifts on others. Well, why would you pull any of those important roles away from them? That's what they see you as. Why don't you wear those hats and be that person? But to do it, you have to be personal to them and therefore visible. People want relationships with their leaders. Give it to them. Don't hide. And by the way, if you think, well, Rick, I'm very visible to my people. I'm always there. I could tell you that if I interviewed your people and asked them, to what degree do you have constant contact and touching from your leaders, they would say very seldom. I ask this question all the time. So despite what you may think, they see it differently. Number two, leaders are often guilty of having no stump speech. What is a stump speech? A stump speech is something that you repeatedly say. It's kind of the high horse that you're always on, but it's a high horse with purpose. You've got to be a storyteller. Let's just say, for example, that customer service is important to your particular business. Now, first of all, I hate the term customer service because it's too vanilla, too generic, too plain Jane. I would rather hear words like creating a superior or memorable customer experience. Now, that's something that's got some meat to it. Well, so let's say that is something that's important to your company. It's something that sets you apart from competitors. As a leader, you need to create a stump speech around creating superior and memorable customer experiences. Here's how you do it. An easy way is find your own employees who are doing it well and continually tell their stories. First, you compliment them in the telling. Second, you tell everybody else in the company that it's important. Other employees or teammates will see now that the leader finds this important, and gee, maybe I should be engaging in it too, because what's important to you becomes important to them. So you can build stump speeches around the behaviors, the positive behaviors of your own people, and seriously around the values and the behaviors of the company that are required for every employee to live. Number three, leaders are often guilty of screwing up names, forgetting names, getting them wrong, mispronouncing, misspelling. Dale Carnegie wrote in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, the sound of anyone's name is the most important sound to them in any language. And he could not be speaking greater truth than that. It is imperative, in my belief, that every leader should become good at remembering names, pronouncing them correctly, spelling them correctly. Don't mess up somebody's name. It's too important to them. I've written on this subject many times, frankly, and I often get pushback. I once got an email back from a reader who said, Rick, I think you're overplaying the importance of this. Names are not as important as you think they are. I'm not good with names, da-da-da-da-da. I instantly labeled him in my mind as someone who, because he didn't think he was good at names and wasn't willing to become good, he was excusing himself by denouncing the importance of it. Don't you be caught in that trap. They are very important to other people. No matter what you might think, they are. And the fourth is leaders are often very guilty of not personally touching their followers. And I think today one of the guiltiest and biggest purveyors of this guilt is social media. Social media is frankly very impersonal because look at Twitter, look at Facebook. It's a one-to-many medium. You're not talking one-to-one, you're talking one-to-thousands. And it's less personal than you might think it is. If you really want to personally touch your followers, revert back to one-to-one. And how do you do that? Well, conversations in the hall, conversations, stop by somebody's office and give them the one-minute praisings from right out of the book, The One-Minute Manager, whatever that might be. But those conversations are important. Another way is personal handwritten notes. I'm not a fan of email and texting these because those are very cold and impersonal mediums. But the handwritten note is almost forgotten today, or cards. I once had a CEO client who said to me, he had a very large organization, multiple offices all over the U.S., and he traveled every week. And he said, Rick, every Monday morning, I put 40 blank thank you cards in my briefcase and 40 envelopes. And my goal is by the end of the week, by Friday, when I get home, I will have written 40 thank yous, recognitions, acknowledgments, congratulatory notes to employees in the company and sent or mailed or distributed them in the course of that week. Now, he had enough people that he could send out 40 in a week and he wouldn't redundantly hit the same people too frequently so that it became disingenuous. You've got to make sure that it's very genuine and from the heart. And if you're touching too many people too often, they begin to think you're just a glad hander and it's not sincere. So you got to be careful of that. He had a lot of people. If you have fewer people than that, maybe your goal is a lot less. But here was somebody who took the bull by the horns and created a process to make it. I do something similar. My goal is I try to do one per day so that in a week I do 5 to 7 personal handwritten notes, which I send to clients, friends, family, suppliers, people I work with, somebody I just want to say thank you to. And there's a trick to this. You've got to be specific in your praise, not general. So if you say something like, good job on the proposal, sorry, doesn't work, that's way too general. Something that would be better would be to say, I was very impressed with the level of detail in your proposal and how articulate you were in explaining the benefits of using us. Now you've gotten specific, you've touched them in a very personal way, they really know you were listening, and it matters to them. So there's four things. Don't be guilty of invisibility. Don't be guilty of not having a stump speech. Don't be guilty of screwing up names. And don't be guilty of not personally touching your followers. Turn all of those leadership sins into positives, and you will have a team of eager beavers who are willing to go to the mat for you. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Flying High podcast series for high achievers with me, Rick Hocek. Can I be helpful to you? If you're lacking team alignment, a clear and bold future vision, ambitious goals, action plans to get you there, and firm accountability, yes, I can help. So let's talk. Contact me at 770-391-9122 or email me at rick@soarwitheagles.com. Be a champion today.